Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me today. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. And don't forget to go there and use it to your advantage. It's a great place for you to learn things about how to get better in your small business. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and my blog. Both of those are there. You can use the blog. It's updated every weekday. You can use it right on the homepage there, right off the homepage, I should say. And you can subscribe off from any page. So check it there. Check it out there. And if you don't have the RSS technology, by the way, we show you how to get it. All you got to do is click on the RSS question there, the little link that says RSS, I think it is, and it'll take you to a page that'll show you how to get RSS. And it's, you know, that would be a good exercise in and of itself. Never mind the fact that you're not going to want to do without my blog, but if you've never used RSS, let us teach you how to do that, and I think you'll start using it more, and it'll become more of a tool for you. It's a very interesting thing, and I think it's going to be one of the technologies of the future. As you've heard me say before, I'm convinced that eventually RSS will replace email marketing, not for a while. It's still a lot of email marketing going on, it should be, but I think one day it may replace that. Rosalind Glickman, Dr. Rosalind Glickman is our good friend and our guest this half hour. She is an outstanding member of our Brain Trust and the author of Optimal Thinking. She is the world's expert. Heck, she has to be, because she discovered optimal thinking all the way from down under, but now an American. Dr. Rosalind Glickman, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Jim. Really, always a pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you here. What's the news from Tasmania? How are things going down there?
You better ask the politicians in Tasmania. I haven't been there for quite a while.
But you have been there, haven't you?
A long time ago.
What's going on down in Tasmania? What is Tasmania? Besides the little devil, what do they got down there?
I think you better ask the politicians. Let's get back to optimal thinking.
Well, now, wait a minute. Now, time out, Rosalind. This is, you know, I'm in charge here. I know you're used to being in charge, but I'm in charge at least until, you know, for another 30 minutes until my wife shows up. Rosalind.
But you know, there's only one thing that's within your control.
Yeah.
And that's your power of choice.
That's exactly right.
Right. You cannot control another person's thinking.
Yeah.
Whilst you can influence them, you can't control them.
Exactly.
Ultimately.
Let me ask you a question. How much optimal thinking is there going on in Australia and Tasmania? Are they optimal thinkers down there?
Well, I was in Australia last year republishing my book. My first book, Optimal Thinking, How to Enjoy the Best Life Has to Offer, was published in 1990 by Simon & Schuster Australia. And last year, Scribe published a 256-page version. The first version was 156 pages.
Mm-hmm.
So I traveled all around Australia. And the book has been doing very, very well. So I guess there is quite a bit of optimal thinking going on there. And I did speak at the Australian Institute of Management and for the accountants there and for Australian businesswomen. So a lot of people in the business community know about optimal thinking.
Well, it sounds like it. And what do we need to know? Remind us. I know you've done this many times before, but I always like for you to tell us what your definition of optimal thinking is.
Well, optimal thinking is the language of our best self. It empowers us to be our best and stops us from settling for second best. It's the thinking we use when we say, what's the best use of my time right now? How can I make the most of this situation? What's the best solution? The issue is that we all think optimally, but we use it sporadically. And what OptimalThinking.com and my book Optimal Thinking and all our Optimal Thinking services and products provide is the formula to use Optimal Thinking consistently so that we can maximize our uptime and minimize our downtime.
May I use the word language? I like the way you did that, but tell us how we can get that language going inside of our head. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get you to hold on to that thought because we're coming up on a break. Folks, one of the things that Rosalene talks to us about is the difference between, you know, doing the best you can do and being the optimal best that you can do. And she'll explain that in a minute, especially how you can have that optimal inner monologue inside of your head and make it manifest into production outside of your body. It's 20 till. We'll be right back with Dr. Rosalene Glickman. Stay with us. Here's the king, the godfather of soul. Check us out.
I feel nice. A sugar and spice. I feel nice.
Listen to the wind blow down the night. And in the shadow.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Dr. Rosalene Glickman is here, too. I'm glad she's here, too. And I had just asked you, Rosalene, about the language of optimal thinking and what kind of an inner monologue, what kind of thoughts should we be having to ourselves about how to get ourselves into that optimal thinking orbit?
Well, I always suggest to my clients to start each day with 5 optimal questions. So that if you wake up grumpy, you have them plastered on your bathroom mirror or on the dashboard of your car or on your desk when you arrive at work. And the questions look something like this. What's supremely important to me? What are my most important goals today? Which actions will be most beneficial for my self-confidence and self-respect? What will make each task today most profitable or most productive? How can I be most efficient? And what's the most productive or most profitable use of my time right now? So in that way, you jumpstart yourself. And then as you approach each issue each day, ask yourself, is this in my best interest? Is this in the best interest of the organization? Is this in the best interest of our team? And so in that way, you check yourself. And if it isn't, well, then what is in your best interest? Go do it.
And instead of just complaining, if you find something that you're not happy with, if you find out that the answer to your question that you just asked is no, it's not in your best interest, instead of complaining or thinking somebody else is wrong or they've done something to you, then shouldn't you say to yourself, okay, what can I do to fix this?
Right. You know, people's behavior is out of our control. I mean, we like to think it's within our control, but ultimately they can choose. And then there are consequences for their actions, but what is within our control is our own power of choice. So if, you know, we need to come back to, well, you know, how does this impact me? What am I thinking or doing to create this situation or this feeling? And what's the best thing I can do about it? So that you can move on with accepting what's out of your control and making the most of what's within your control.
But this is easy to say, Rosalene. But if you're really not, if you're the kind of person that's not easily, you know, happy, I know a lot of people out there who basically they don't really know how to find happiness. You know, maybe you can jolt them into it, or not that they never laugh. It's just that they might have a hard time really. Being, you know, they're not bubbly type of folks. How do we make sure that even if you're a hard case, that you get to this optimal thinking area?
Well, we can all use optimal thinking consciously. We can start by saying, well, what's the most enjoyable use of my time right now? What are my most enjoyable activities? And how can I maximize the enjoyment of these activities? We can ask these kind of optimal questions to optimize our enjoyment of life. But really getting down to it, we really need to respect the fact that we become what we think. And our thinking.
Say that again.
We become what we think.
Tell us what that
and
means.
And the quality of our thinking represents the quality of our lives.
Say that again, too.
The quality of our thinking determines the quality of our lives.
Now, folks, that's a really important statement right there. And that's going to be on the test, by the way.
There you go. So when we think optimally, we make the most of our lives. But we need to know where we're starting from. For example, if someone's dominant level of thinking is extraordinarily negative, then they're going to view life from an extraordinarily negative perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Or if their dominant level of thinking is mediocre positive, that might be they might get along quite well with people. And they're motivated by being accepted by others, being part of the mainstream. So trying to change a mediocre positive thinker into an extraordinary thinker is going to be really difficult, because to be an extraordinary thinker, you have to accept, you have to take rejection. To be extraordinary, by definition, you're not going to be part of the mainstream, so you're going to get a lot of rejection.
Mm-hmm. You're going to be swimming against the stream a lot, aren't you?
Right. But with optimal thinking, you can make the most of whatever your thinking is. For example, if your dominant level of thinking is mediocre positive thinking, and you like to just think of quite good solutions, then you can ask yourself, well, how can I make the most of this quite good solution? Just use that one optimal question, and you'll optimize who you are.
Mm-hmm.
If you're motivated by acceptance.
So let me stop you. You're not saying that optimal thinking for everyone is that everybody has to turn into this perky cheerleader. You're just saying that whoever your personality is, whatever is going on in your life, there is an optimal level that you could get to without changing your whole personality.
Exactly, and you.
That's important,
the first
right there,
place you have to start is in knowing what your thinking style is. So. You can go to the website and you can rate your thinking. It's at optimalthinking.com. On the top right link, you'll see rate your thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a unconditional money-back guarantee. It's a nominal charge. And you can literally go in there and rate your level of thinking and see actually your hierarchy of thinking. For example, you might have 47% mediocre positive, 22% mediocre negative, and then the rest might be extraordinarily negative or extraordinarily positive,
you
and you'll
need
get to
know
see what that means.
If you're going to become a real optimal thinker, folks, you need to know from whence you come. Stand
exactly.
By. Dr. Rosalyn Glickman and I will be right back. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us.
She stood in the street, smiling from her head to her feet.
Welcome back. It's 7 till the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate, and happy Hanukkah to all of our Jewish friends and listeners, and even if you're not our friends, happy Hanukkah to you anyway. Happy holidays to you, Rosalyn Glickman.
Thank you. Same to you
and
all the listeners.
Absolutely. Okay, we're talking about optimal thinking and how we get this into our own head. I really like the way you said that even if we're kind of, if we actually know that maybe we're not the perky cheerleader type, we're not always bubbly, maybe we keep our own counsel a lot, we're not big talkers or whatever, it's still possible for us to be optimal thinkers within who we are.
Well, let me give you an example. Let's say you've got an extraordinarily negative thinker. This person naturally sees the flaws in products and services and in people. Now, these people who are not trained in optimal thinking, who simply dwell in extraordinarily negative thinking, can bring down teams and departments and others.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They can be miserable. But you train them in optimal thinking, and they're your best people in quality control.
Hmm.
And in order to run a business, you can't run a business with just extraordinarily positive thinkers because they don't. They tend to overlook the flaws. So you need them to balance.
So you, on the quality control line, you don't need people to say, oh, this will probably work out.
you need
someone who says, wait a minute.
Problem.
Yeah,
and once they've been trained in optimal thinking, they'll say, this is what's causing it, these are the options for resolving it, and this is what I think is best. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
So in that way, you in a small business, if you've got someone like that who's trained in optimal thinking, they'll stop you from disasters.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when the cost of failure is high, optimism is the wrong strategy.
Right.
You know, yeah. We don't want to overlook really disastrous consequences.
Right. Somebody's got to be looking at this thing with a jaundiced eye. You're exactly right. By the way, I want to remind folks that optimal thinking is available wherever books are sold. That's the book.
Yes, and they can get it off Amazon.com. And we also have a 100-day audio CD program, which enables you to make it consistent so that it's second nature, so that you instinctively come straight back to what's the best thing I can do about it.
Now, we need to get that from the website, right?
Pardon?
We need to get that from the website.
Yes, at optimalthinking.com, because the issue is we are all going to react. And we're going to react at different levels, but how quickly we bounce back to our optimal level is what counts.
How do we make optimal thinking our default thinking?
Well, that's what I'm saying. We make it by, one, knowing where we're coming from. Even with the roadmap and the best global positioning system, you're not going to arrive where you most want to be if you don't know where you are.
Mm-hmm.
So you start with where you are, knowing what your level of thinking is, and then consciously choose optimal thinking. And you can ask yourself, what's in my best interest, what's in our best interest? And we have this 100-day program with an unconditional guarantee so that you can actually make it second nature. And there's a formula to do it. And you can go from sporadic use to using it instinctively, just naturally.
When you've installed this, I know you do this for companies. When you've given this program to companies and you've gotten everybody, you've determined where they are, and you've sort of installed the optimal thinking program in those companies, what kind of return on investment have they seen?
Oh, phenomenal. We get minimum 28% return. Minimum.
Wow.
And we like to start most frequently at the sales department because that's where we can measure the gross revenue, the impact on the top and bottom line.
Right. Exactly.
Most easily. We can measure it throughout the organization. We can determine metrics.
But the low-hanging fruit, the easy measurement would be in sales, wouldn't it?
Yes, easiest.
Yeah. Yeah. Give us that website again, Rosalind.
OptimalThinking.com.
That's the name of the book. That's the name of the website. Well, the book is Optimal Thinking, not with the .com. But you can find that on the website, and you can find it at Amazon. You can find it wherever books are sold. Check out the website, folks. Take that evaluation that she was talking about on OptimalThinking.com. Rosalind, happy holidays. Thanks for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Rosalind Glickman, ladies and gentlemen. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and remember, this program is for you, and also always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.